Debbie Kane, and a special thank you for being here today on a gorgeous sunny afternoon in California after a week of rain. The purpose of the show is to give everybody a forum to ask about whatever personal challenge may be up for them in any area of their life, such as relationships, love, career, and hopefully receive some guidance or direction with kindness, respect, and warmth. Being both a practical mystic and a psychic psychotherapist, I'm here each week to answer any questions and offer support, both from a place of psychology and spirit. And I want to thank you all for the amazing email questions that you've been sending in during the show. And a reminder that the questions that I receive through AskEvieRadio.com, I pick and respond to each week. I don't actually see your questions live on the air. So that's just a little heads up so that you know that in case you're wanting to, get a question answered. I encourage you just pick up the phone line and call. But if not, just send me questions at askheavyradio.com. And so let's get going today. The lines are open, and you can Skype or call in toll-free at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for our international friends and listeners, there are several additional Skype-in numbers available on bbsradio.com's website or my live streaming website, askevieradio.com. So I'd like to kick off today's show with a wonderful question that I got from Anne in Arizona, and it has reminded me of having this conversation many times with clients over the years. And Anne writes that she has three children, ages 3, 5, and 7, and she and her husband have been married for 9 years. And she was writing from a place of, like, dreading the holidays coming up because every year they have to go back east for Thanksgiving to his family. And her family lives in the south, his family lives in the northeast. And basically Anne is saying how hard it is that, you know, it seems like we're always on a plane in the holidays flying to his parents for Thanksgiving, my parents for Christmas, and vice versa. And Anne and a lot of other people out there, you know, in my humble opinion, I would recommend to you, as difficult as it may be, to stop doing this. You know, people love to go home to see their parents and bring the kids because the parents want to see the grandchildren and all that. And, of course, I understand that. And also, it's kind of like going home again, and we have the wonderful memories from our own childhood about holidays. And actually, what your kids are missing out on, when you think of it, you're their parents, and what are their memories going to be when they grow up? I mean, it's really time to, I think, talk with your husband about maybe it's time for us to kind of start our own traditions in our own home, at least for one of those holidays. You know, you can invite the grandparents to come, or you can go back there a week before or after, you know, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is. But it seems like if you think back on your own life and the things that you remember about the holidays, it's kind of like maybe being home and waking up to all the smells and sights and sounds and the joy of those holidays. Or maybe there were other things going on. you know, that weren't so pleasant. But the thing is to provide that opportunity, that memory for your children. So that would be my commentary on that. Okay. And the lines are open, and it looks like we have a person calling in who tends to burn bridges. Dawn, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hi, Dawn. How can I help you today?
Well, I have that long, lifelong habit of, and I'm an older person. And
how old
I generally,
are you,
Dawn? Save up my anger and, and, generally misplace my anger and burn bridges rather than, walk away, you know, in a kindly way.
Mm-hmm. And you're calling because I take it you're not liking the results you're getting in your life with that.
That's right. It tends to be personally destructive.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and has more more negative ramifications than I foresee.
Mm-hmm. So, Dawn, do you know, like, what you're doing to create
yep.
this, right?
Or I've learned what I'm doing.
You've learned what you're doing, right.
Yeah,
and
I didn't realize it when I was, you know, when I got into this pattern back in my teenage years, I guess, or before.
Okay. Well, Dawn, what I'll say to you is things that we learn in our teenage years for whatever reason that we keep practicing over and over and over again, we develop patterns and we get very good at it as much as we may intellectually want to change it. And I like to say that those things are like self-defeating learned behaviors. They're not getting us
right.
the results that we want. And so it's like we learned it, we practiced it. What we practice, we become, and then what we become has consequences, which you're so succinctly describing as burning bridges and or driving people out of your life. And it doesn't mean that it would take 40, 50, or 60 years to unlearn that, but basically it's about learning some new skills. So you know what you're doing, and you probably know what you need to do differently. Yes? Like one thing that you said, for example, is I tend to hold all my anger in, and then I'm assuming it might come out like a volcano or something.
Yeah, and it's generally at a misplaced...
Yeah. We might take it out on people who aren't even causing the problem for us, but people we feel safer with or love more or something like that. What I would encourage you, Dawn, is that, you know, have you ever gone to counseling or talked with anybody? And, you know, like somebody who could help you learn some different skills and practice them, either a counselor or a coach? Because it wouldn't take a long time, but it's about practicing and learning new skills. We can sometimes get frustrated, you know, like if you read the book about how to play the piano and you sit down and you try and play the piano and you can't first off. You sometimes need a little bit of a teaching or mentoring or coaching and practice that you can talk about. And that would be my recommendation to you, Dawn. You know, the fact that you're calling in and willing to admit that I understand I'm doing this and being older doesn't necessarily mean that we just get the wisdom from our age, but we get the real wisdom is taking the information that we have and knowing we need to make some changes and learning how to make those changes. And I really encourage you, Dawn, because if you're open enough to call in, you're open enough to try those things. And thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Cheryl from Australia, are you there? We have Cheryl from Australia calling in. I guess we've lost Cheryl. How about Kim from Maryland?
Hi, Evie. Can you hear me, Evie?
Yes, is this Kim?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Well, I noticed that your topic was about, you know, standing up, and about 3 years ago, stood up for myself finally and made a move, and ever since then I've been floundering financially and also emotionally as well, and I was just kind of calling in to see if I could get some insight into that.
What was the stand that you took?
I walked away from a very dysfunctional marriage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know that takes a lot of courage to do that. And I know a lot of times in a marriage, I don't know if this was that many times your financial situation for several years is impacted. And that's what you're going through right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And are you currently employed?
I am, but I feel like I'm, I guess the best way to describe it is I feel like I'm in a well, and I can't find my way out of it. I'm just circling the well.
Well, should I ask, has the job been kind of a replacement for the marriage? Like, as in it's dysfunctional? I'm picturing you in that well, like, trying to get out.
Actually, it is. No, it's not a replacement for the marriage.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I meant like, is it okay. a similar feeling? I'm trapped in this well.
Yeah.
See, and I always see the kind of like love and money is connected, and I don't mean that in the funny sense of how people mean it. I mean it's like abundance. You know, our divine abundance, our birthright. To have the love in our life and the financial means, it's all connected. So you've done one thing, and the other area in your life, I mean, as I tune into you, I feel like, you know, there's the real world about the finances every day, but I pick up that there's something you're really drawn to doing in your life, or you have kind of this gnawing and this job isn't it. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's stopping you, Kim, from pursuing that?
At the moment, I'm in school to do it.
Awesome.
I've gone back to school, but, you know, it's taking its time, and in the process, everything else is sort of
Yeah. You know, Kim, it isn't a but. I've gone back to school, but I really want to commend you. You've gone back to school, and you're walking through the fire, going to school full time to pursue, I mean, and working to pursue your dream takes a tremendous amount of effort and energy. You know.
Yes, it does. It does.
And I can remember people trying to discourage me years ago from, you know, you sure you really want to be a therapist and do that? It's so much work and this and that. And there were times that washed over me. And when I would sit in the classes and things, that was inspiring. The inspiring part is not having to get up so early and write the papers on the weekend and all that. But what I'm wanting to do more than anything is to encourage you to keep on keeping on because you're in process. It feels like you're in the well. You're seeing the light, and you are on path and on target.
Okay.
And keep okay, it's really important that you let some people into your life that are real positive-minded and lift you up, because that's the kind of stuff that keeps us going.
I think Spirit's been doing that for me anyway.
Well, awesome. You're really on task and target. The process, I know, sometimes is tough. But kudos to you. You left a bad marriage, you're grateful. You can look in that job every day, have the gratitude that, wow, it's paying the bills, even though it's a stretch every month. And it's enabling me to keep on pursuing my dream and what I'm doing. So bless you, and hats off to you. It's inspirational, Kim. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And Cheryl from Australia.
Yes, Evie. Hi. Sorry I dropped out.
That's okay. We're sorry that we bleeped you off into virtual oblivion there. How can I help? What's your question today?
My question is about standing up and speaking your truth. I have found for myself it's been like an onion peeling layers and continually getting to the core of your own truth of who you are.
Cheryl, I'm having a really hard time understanding your question. Is this a lot of feedback in the line? Can you pull back from the microphone a little bit?
Yep, is that better?
Okay, let's try it again. What is your question about speaking the truth?
My question is, if you know there is something you need to do, and it's that final layer, it's like the ultimate layer, it's like the final layer to really not only speak your truth, but to live your truth.
Okay.
Yeah. And living it and doing this activity requires you to really be in it every day and to...
Yeah, I think speaking the truth is the first part of the process.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't even been able to speak the truth about what is or is not working for them.
Yeah.
But speaking the truth, to me, is about the first point or place you need to be, awareness, giving voice to it, and then we have to align our choices in our actions with the truth that we're speaking. Ah, that's the rub. So if, for example, we're saying we're miserable in our job or our marriage or whatever the situation might be, we have to act in accordance with the truth that we're speaking. Doesn't mean that we're trying to change the other person or the situation, but we're looking at what's up for us. Where do we really want to be? How do we want to show up?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this would require me to not be who I'm not, but I'm going to show a part of myself that many people don't see, and that's scary. That's like,
oh, it's scary.
That.
Yeah. That's usually the thing that even keeps us from speaking the truth, see? And then now it's like, if I do it, it's scary. How are they going to react to this part that I've been keeping under wraps for years? We don't know the answer to that.
No.
And what I will say to you is, if you keep it under wraps for years, you know, as we come to the point in our life where our physical existence is ending, we don't want to have the kind of life that we live to make just other people happy. And, you know, every part of us is important to be brought out. So I would encourage you to, because, you know, that part of you that isn't coming out, there must be that it's trying to leak out in other ways. There must be other frustrations, resentments that we try and keep a lid on. And if we're not really open and happy in our life, have you noticed that it has a ripple effect?
Oh, definitely. I have children and this is for them.
Yeah. So, Cheryl, I'm encouraging you to let that person out, even if it's just one step a week. Because if I talk to you again in another month or 2 months, then we can talk about how it's going with that person being out in the light of day. It's like, take a deep breath and let her out afraid. That's what courage is. Courage is not about having no fear. Courage is about connecting with your heart. It's not about not feeling fear.
Okay.
So bless you, and thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
And we're going to take our first break to commercial today. Hello. This is actually a public service announcement on behalf of two dear friends of mine, Connie and Martin Jordan of Sarasota, Florida. Today's October 22nd, 2010, and it's also the third annual International It's All a Good Day. Connie and Martin are amazing people that went through what is one of the hardest things for parents to go through, which is the death of a child. And it's amazing what they've done with that. They've established this It's All Good Day in honor of their beloved son, Andrew Jordan. And today is the third anniversary of his journey home. They also decided that it was so important to do this to honor his amazing positive attitude that the day is named for. His love of life and inspiration continues on, and he's helping so many people in his non-physical spirit form from the other side. Andrew was diagnosed July 11, 2007 with AML leukemia, and he was only 16 years old. During his nearly 4 months at the hospital, he kept his positive attitude of it's all good, even when he was getting full needles of chemo into his spine a few times a week and all the other invasive leukemia treatments that he received. He kept this attitude of it's all good, it's all good. He was like a beacon of light for everyone. If a 16-year-old man could keep that kind of attitude during a time like this, then why can't we do it, at least consciously, for one day a year? Connie and Martin knew that their son Andrew was an avatar, an old soul in a young physical body, someone we know was a bringer of the light, a master teacher, while he was here. And he led his life as one teaching and inspiring those who were lucky enough to know him and call him friend. Andrew continues to touch, teach, and inspire people all over the world from the other side now. So in honor of Andrew and his amazing parents, let's make today consciously be positive no matter what. Smile at a stranger. Hold the door open for someone. Let someone in traffic. Now there's a novel idea, L.A. Every chance you get today, say, it's all good. And remember that while you're doing that, you are being joined with so many people around the world doing the same thing. And knowing that we're lifting, even if it's just for a day, the planet's vibration. Let it go and let it rise, and the life you change may just be your own. Thank you, Connie and Martin, for It's All Good. And thank you for being so great. And those of you who are inspired by the story, if you would like to know more, you can check out their website at www.heallive.org, where you can read about Andrew and his amazing life, and his healing work continues. Bless you, both of you. Thanks so much. And now we are back with more questions. And I think we have a Mark. We lost Mark from Minnesota, so we're going to hope that he calls back. And in the meantime, let me go on to a couple of our amazing email questions that we received this week, which, oh, this one is a great one. This was from Madeline in New York. Dear Evie, I'm 35 years old, and I've been married for 8 years to a wonderful man. But lately, I've found myself very attracted to another man in another state who is also married. We joke about the sparks between us, even though we each love our spouses. As luck would have it, I'm a traveling sales rep, and I'm on the road 1 week a month. And it would be so easy, if you know what I mean. Yes, we know what you mean. I don't want to hurt my husband and know that if I did this or he found out it would. We have a good marriage, but sometimes I feel like I'm phoning it in and our communication hasn't been the best. And I've suggested over the last few months that maybe we go to some couple counseling to kind of reignite things and get some better communication skills. And he agrees. But then when I keep bringing it up, he seems to just give it lip service and make excuses. Well, I've got this project or this and on and on. I love my husband, but, and I'll stop there. Because I know you love your husband, and when you know like as a therapist, it's kind of a common knowledge in our profession that we like to joke about is that when someone has an affair, it's pretty typically a wake up call that something's off in the marriage, and you're alluding to that, and you're trying to do the right thing and suggest couples counseling, and your husband's in a different place where I don't think he realizes the depth, Madeline, of what you're going through and experiencing. And you can see where this is going to end up, if it hasn't already, quite quickly on your next business trip. I mean, whatever's missing in the marriage at home, what I would suggest to you is this, and you might need to take a deep breath and really take this in. It's kind of important to speak your truth about really why you're suggesting couples counseling, because you notice it's escalating here. See, and if we say to our husband, it'd be nice to go and have communication skills and date night and everything, that sounds like a sort of back burner thing, you know. Human beings aren't wired to say, oh, gee, it's a beautiful night. Should we go out to dinner or go to couples counseling, you know? What I would suggest is that you speak your truth in a kind and compassionate way, such as, honey, I really want us to go to counseling. I'm scared. I love you, and I notice that I've been having some feelings for someone else. And I don't want to act on those feelings or do anything that's going to mess things up. But I'm just scared about what's happening. And I really want to go to counseling and talk about this and get through it. So you got to speak your truth about what's really going on before something more horrific goes on. Now, he still has choices. You know, he could say all sorts of things like, I don't want to be with somebody that would ever have feelings for someone else or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's going to give you a lot of information in and of itself. But I would encourage you to do this because, one, if that's the real wake-up call before something happens. It's his choice, but I don't think he's really fully aware the extent of whatever's going on for you in the marriage that needs to happen differently before something else happens, and then you've compounded things with, you know, who knows where that would end up. Okay, so I hope that helps, and please feel free to, you know, call in and ask any more questions or anything like that. It occurs to me that this is a great lead-in, so I love your questions because they really give me a lot of material for the inspiration point for the week. And last week we talked about betrayals by mentors and how do you heal from that. And out of that, I wanted to do a segue about standing up and speaking your truth. And what I'm talking about standing up is when you're seeing or experiencing something that is happening that just doesn't feel right or you don't agree with or it's going against your core, you know. And the people who have no problem with speaking up and telling people what you think about what they're doing or whatever, this message isn't for you. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to many, many, many people out there, you know who you are, that like, have you ever observed a situation and thought, should I speak up? Should I say something? Should I do something? You might think of a time in your life when that feeling came up and that didn't happen. And pay attention to your answer that you gave yourself about why you didn't speak up or why you shouldn't do something, and then play it forward to the end. Or maybe it's not at the end. Maybe it's still going on. Do you tell yourself things like, well, I don't want them to be upset with me, or I could lose my position or job or relationship. Or maybe sometimes we get up in our head, like we are with these kinds of things, trying to think of the logical reasons why not to. And maybe we can really even be gifted and wrap spiritual principles around it, like say, well, it's not really my concern, it's none of my business, we all have our lessons, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time for all of us to stand up and speak what's in our heart. Too many of us are sitting on the sidelines of our own life, whether it's speaking up in your own home, your marriage, with your children, in business, social or spiritual organizations, in the community. There is so much going on in the world right now, and every single one of us has the power to make a difference. Off the sidelines, being a spectator, and fully participate. Every single one of our choices and actions has a ripple effect to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. So standing up is really about connecting your heart to your mouth. Remember when you didn't speak up and the reasons why that came up from our head, our mind, all the logical reasons why we shouldn't get involved. And really, I think it was Cheryl from Australia said it's the fear. It's that fear of what would be the repercussions if I did. And I say to you, what are the greater repercussions if you don't? The more you stand up and speak from your heart, the more you participate in life, the more passionate and on purpose you are, because our heart is connected to our soul and our spirit. Fear is a mental emotion. We can feel fear in our body, but we create reasons to get away from it, and it never really goes away. We might push it down or to the side. The only way to deal with fear is by going through it. Now, what I'm encouraging you to do is that when you speak from your heart, it connects you with your passion and your purpose. What are you keeping inside that you want to get out and communicate with another human being? See, so when we don't speak up about things that are bothering us, it has a ripple effect on a deeper level with us. And I'm not talking about that we have to speak up in a way where we're strident or create arguments and get everyone upset, even though they may. I'm talking about letting people know where you stand, what's working for you, and what isn't. I'm asking you to share your heart. If you observe and or experience a situation and it doesn't feel right, speak up. Let people know where you stand. You have tremendous power and light. So many of us have gotten so used to pushing aside our feelings and emotions and saying, oh, don't go there, don't go there. And pretty soon this can become a pattern of ignoring everything. And we can even delude ourselves that not going there is the right thing to do. And why I say deluding ourselves is in those times when you haven't spoken up and it's gone on, what's been the end result anyway? I know in my own life, the irony is you end up with the loss of the relationship, the job, or the position anyway. So trust me, if you notice it and it bothers you, it's your business, even if your head tells you it's none of your business. If you notice it and it bothers you, it affects you, and it's your place to say something, to stand up. It's pushing past and through our fear and having that courage. Courage comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. It's about having heart. It's about being mentally afraid and having the courage to push past that fear and open our mouth and speak our truth. In an interesting way, you know, there's all sorts of different people, just like there's different animals, and you can't be a chicken if you're an eagle at heart. You can convince yourself maybe you're a chicken, but you won't be happy. If we stop observing and start speaking, maybe we can all learn from each other. And we can grow and help create the changes in the world we want to see. Yeah, you may lose that job or that relationship or those that we thought were our friends. But remember, it's Spirit's way of emptying it out for the people who really are of the same tribe to come in. In preparing these words for you today, somebody reminded me that there's a full moon tonight. And the full moon, I know, has lots of meaning through the centuries of magic and miracles and astrology. And I was thinking about the spiritual meaning of the full moon is about that full moon broadcasts so much light into the dark sky that people are fooled into thinking it's daytime, and they have the courage to climb mountains and do all sorts of things as if it was the daytime. So I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight as you're looking at the full moon. It's your choice to light up, stand up, speak up. And sometimes, just sometimes, in the light of the full moon, you will occasionally see in Peru a condor, the eagle of Peru, fly right past that moon. And let's have some music to let that just wash over you a little bit, and we'll be back. And welcome back, and I encourage if you would like to call in with any of your own experiences or comments about the inspiration point from the week, so please do. And we have a caller, Emily. Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Emily. Welcome to the program. What's your question today, or comment?
My question today, Evie. Mm-hmm. It's about old friendships. Could you give us some advice? When you have old friendships and you have chosen a new spiritual path, the energy shifts, and it's very difficult to take people that are fear-based spirituality, religions, or whatever you want to call it. How can we explain our new position without offending them?
Emily?
Because they're entrenched in the old religion. And
Emily?
They're not open to hearing anything new.
Right. So, Emily, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think you know the answer to this question.
Get new friends?
Well, it's like the nature of the friendship has changed. It's like you have moved to a different kind of place, what you're talking about, opening up to spiritual or mystical things, and I don't know, I'm just getting the impression that they either don't get it or they're not interested or they're giving you a hard time about it, and the friendship has become more of a job than a friendship.
Yes.
Mm, yeah. Well, that, okay. So, friendships aren't, you know, see, it's like, you know, my dad used to say, you can choose your friends, but not your relatives.
Right.
Which used to make me howl laughing, but the truth is we know we all choose everything. But there's a funny thing in that, the delightful thing about friendship is we can really get to choose our friends. The ones that we love and have in our life, and there are like a close circle. If I look at friendships as like a series of concentric circles, and sometimes people who were in your inner circle, as you start to shift and change, you no longer have the same kind of connection with them that you did before. And you can try and have that connection. But like if you're coming from a different chakra space, like you're more in your heart and your power center and your third eye, and they're more in some of the heart, but the earthly things, then it isn't going to jibe. And so part of it is about you can have a different kind of friendship with these people.
Okay.
More like an acquaintanceship. But you don't have to keep working so hard at it. Why? We don't have to do that.
Mm. Thank you.
People come in and out of our lives, all throughout our lives. And when people come into our lives, the Native Americans have a great saying, which is that everyone comes into our life for a reason, and we don't know whether it's going to be for a season or a lifetime. And many times it's a season, and we're trying to keep it going when it really isn't what's meant to be.
Well, thank you, Evie. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Was there anything else?
And it takes the burden off.
Yeah.
Well, I think when people are entrenched in fear-based religion, it's very difficult when you did share those views and now you don't share those views anymore. And as I listened to you earlier, that, you know, friends sometimes aren't who we think they are, and they really can't accept anything new. I think it's too hard for them to step away and see things differently.
Yeah, and you know, that's okay. We don't have to judge them. They're deciding that life works just great for them where they are, and I don't want to listen to that and do anything else with it, and that's okay for them. But it's not working for you.
No.
You know, and sometimes I think the fear is, well, will there be other, you know, it's like opening up to align yourself. And put, you know, if you're going to put all that effort and energy in like you would for a job, which we defined it as, you know, hopefully in a job there'd be some wonderful payoff. You'd get, you know, atta girls and promotions and raises and you'd look forward to it. This sounds like a job you hate, you want to leave, right?
Yes. Well, you've given me a lot.
With the job analogy is what I mean. You know, it's like if all I get is, you know, I don't like what you're saying or doing or whatever. In a job, we'd want to leave that job. We'd feel really whittled down to size instead of expanded.
Boy, that really says it all. It's sort of when you feel when you're in their company that you have to weigh your words and you can't be who you are. Very interesting. The energy is totally different.
Yes. See, and what I say is friends are meant. Our friends are meant to keep us going. They lift us up, inspire us. We do that for each other. You know, so you joked about find some new friends, but that's really kind of what it's about, is find people more in alignment
mm-hmm.
with your values, your vision, you know.
And I'm on that path as we speak.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Well,
thanks so much
thank you,
for
Evie.
The call, Emily.
Okay, bye, Evie.
Bye-bye. And we will take our second commercial break. What woman doesn't want pretty feet? And men, too, for the, you know, when we really think about it. And I wanted to tell you about this fabulous product that I use in my own life, and it's called Pretty Feet. And they're actually healthy feet buffing pads. They look like a cross between a pumice stone and a loofah sponge. They are really, really awesome. The name of the company is Healthy Glow Skin Products that a friend of mine just bought and gave me some samples. And these things really, really rock. You just have them in your shower and they last for 6 months. They're really wonderful for diabetics. They're eco-friendly green. The really cool thing is they eliminate dry, cracked, and calloused skin. You know how we ladies get that challenge in our heels. And it's so nice to be using that instead of a blade, you know, one of those things you rub over your feet. So I encourage you, and as a gift for the Ask Evie radio show, they will give you free shipping if you want to call them in. 800-843-7864, 800-843-7864. Tell them you're calling from the Ask Evie show. They'll give you free shipping. They have a whole range of personal pedicure kits and all sorts of spa products. They're spa quality products at retail prices for individual users. So I highly, highly recommend them. And once again, 800-843-7864. And we're back, and the lines are open to Skype or call in. The toll-free number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I have another wonderful email question from Sarah in Los Angeles, who wrote about fear and panic attacks that she deals with. And the essence of her email is, you know, she had listened to things when somebody had asked about crystals in the first show, and she's done a lot of yoga and breath work and therapy. And she says, it seems no matter what I do, when I start feeling that fear and tighten up, it's almost like I get frozen and I can't move. All the things I've learned kind of go out the window. Do you have any guidance about that? And, you know, Sarah, I do. I realize that, you know, that it's very frustrating when people tell you, okay, you just need to learn to breathe and practice it now, and then the next time the panic attack comes up, it'll be more like second nature to breathe that way and blah, blah, blah. And I've said those things myself. And one of the things I've really started to study quite a bit about is that people who go through fear and panic attacks can experience almost what people do with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's like that freeze response. And it's actually that when we've had something going on for a while, the neural pathways to the brain kind of get locked in, so that no matter how much you're affirming or breathing or whatever, the neural pathways haven't shifted in a way to support you in that. It's like you might have a new mental tape, but we're playing it on an old recorder and it's going to be scratchy. So there's a lot of wonderful new stuff out in the field of energy psychology now. And I'm putting this out to you and to other listeners. because there's so much of this that's so prevalent, I am going to do a community service call. It's probably going to be sometime in early November, and I'm going to teach people live how to do what's called EFT for themselves, which stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. I use a combination of eye movement and tapping that actually helps to shift the neural pathways. So it's another level of support for you. So anyone who is interested in being in on this call, shoot me an email at evie@askevieradio.com, evie@askevieradio.com. And we'll make sure that you get correspondence, the date, time, all that good stuff. Okay? And so it looks like that's all that we have time for today. And before we close, there's an announcement that next week I'm going to have my first guest on the show, Camille Lacott, who is an amazing psychic and animal communicator. Extraordinaire. So I really encourage you to call in, whether your beloved fur people are on this side or the other side. Any questions that you would like to ask Camille, that's the time to call in, is next week. She's really, really awesome. She's amazing. My personal belief is, to be an animal communicator, you have to be an amazing psychic anyway, because the animals are not talking and giving you clues, you know. So she's just really, really awesome, and she's one of the premier readers on that site I mentioned last week, onetolisten.com. Some amazing psychics over there. I recommend both Camille and Audra quite. They're the real deal. And as I said, I'm not an affiliate, so there's no financial remuneration in it for me. This is just purely from the heart. So Camille will be here next week, so please send any questions to me at Ask Evie for Camille or for me for next week. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and these marvelous questions that everyone has been asking. And, you know, let me know what you're thinking of the show or some comments. You know, love to hear any of your, if you were too shy to call in, you know, love to hear your own stories about standing up or not and all that good stuff. And I'd like to close by thanking my producer Don at BBS and personal production team of Mark, Paula, and Betsy. I couldn't do the show without you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Anna Taylor from London, with your beautiful opening music and reminding each and every one of us how beautiful we really are. And a thank you to James Stewart from South Africa for encouraging us in his beautiful song, Shine, to be the full, our own full moon in our own life every day. And we'll close with Shine.